This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is John DeGraff, Executive Director of Take Back Your Time, an initiative to challenge the epidemic of overwork, overscheduling, and time famine that now threatens our health, our families and relationships, our communities, and our environment. John is also a co-founder of the Happiness Initiative, an award-winning documentary filmmaker, co-author of the books Affluenza and What's the Economy For Anyway, and editor of Take Back Your Time, Fighting Overwork and Time Poverty in America. John DeGraff is here today to tell us about House Bill 2238, a bill mandating paid vacations for employees in Washington State, which has been under consideration in the 2014 Washington State legislative session. If passed, Washington State would be the first state in the nation to require paid vacation time for workers. Welcome, John.
Thank you. Good to be on your show, Diane.
Would you like to start by saying a few words about Take Back Your Time?
Sure. Take Back Your Time has been around for about 12 years now. We started in 2002, just realizing that Americans really work longer hours than people in other rich and industrial countries, and that this has some pretty serious negative effects on our health and our social connection and our opportunity to be involved in our communities, to take part in civic life, and for our environment. And so we got the idea that each October 24th, we would celebrate what we call Take Back Your Time Day. October 24th falls about 9 weeks before the end of the year. And in 2002, Americans on average were working about 9 weeks more each year than Western Europeans were working. So that's where that came from. The difference a little less now, but still very, very strong.
Why is it important to provide paid vacation time for workers?
Well, we understand that men who don't regularly take vacations are about 30% more likely to suffer from heart attacks than men who do. For women, the number is greater. It's about 50%. Women who don't regularly take vacations are anywhere from 2 to 8 times more likely to suffer from depression than women who do. Sarah Speck, a cardiologist here in Seattle, has called time pressure and stress from overwork the new tobacco in our society. She says it has the same power and a negative effect on our health and on our hearts as smoking too much would do. And she's been a very strong supporter of this bill. She testified in the legislature on its behalf. And she says we need to get this epidemic of overwork in the U.S. under control. There are some other advantages to this. If we began to work less, we could share the work a little more and put some of the people who aren't working at all to work.
What effect do vacations have on productivity for businesses?
Well, vacations are shown to increase productivity, certainly right when people get back from vacation. The effect is not long, but vacations certainly don't have any negative effect on productivity. And one study did find that combined with other sensible workplace policies, vacations actually help increase overall productivity. There was a Harvard Business Review study in October of 2009 called Making Time Off Predictable and Required. And this study looked at two control groups, one that took their vacation time, that didn't take work home, that weren't always on the electronic leash, that worked a 40-hour week and that was it, compared to another group that was working longer hours, that had cell phones always available, that were checking their emails, that weren't taking vacations, or if they were in constant touch with the office. And they found that overall, the control group that was working less actually produced more in the long run. Also, they were simply much happier with their work. There was less turnover, less absenteeism, all kinds of other benefits.
How widespread is paid vacation time in the U.S.?
Well, it's not very widespread compared to other countries. About anywhere between 26 and 28% of American workers, depending on the year, don't get any at all, zero paid vacation. The median is something like 7 or 8 days, which means that half of the working population gets less than that. The average, which is different from the median, is about 2 weeks. Americans average about 2 weeks vacation time. They take slightly less than that. They actually give back some vacation days. Now, compare that with Europe, where the minimum is 4 weeks. Every European worker from the beginning, starting work after the first year, gets 4 weeks paid off. And in many cases, they get 5 or 6. And it's not just Europe. This is common throughout the world. We are absolutely unique in that we're one of only 5 countries in the world that don't require any paid vacation time at all. The other four are Guyana, Suriname, Nepal, and Burma. I mean, that's our company, and I think that's not the best company to keep in terms of vacation time.
How did House Bill 2238 requiring paid vacation for workers come about?
Well, I'd had conversations in the past with Gail Tarleton, who is now a state representative. Gail's always been very interested in the issues of a balanced work-life balance, what makes a decent job. So she's interested in things like the minimum wage. She's interested in family leave and sick days and health care, all those things that used to be, you know, a generation ago, considered a basic part of a middle-class job. Gail is interested in restoring that concept of a balanced job, and vacation was one part of it. And so when she was elected in 2012 and last year in the legislature, she began to think about how to move some of those things forward. And this year she did introduce House Bill 2238 for paid vacation time. It's a very modest bill. It gives people from 1 to 3 weeks off, depending on how long they've worked with a firm, and only covers firms with 25 employees or more. But I think it's an absolutely important step in the right direction, and I salute Gail for this.
Are part-time employees included?
They are, down to 20 hours.
Would you say more about the businesses that are included and those that are exempt?
Well, businesses under 25 employees are exempt. And it was interesting that at the hearing on Friday, one of the interesting criticisms from the business groups that were opposing this was that it's not a level playing field if these businesses are exempt. Now, I have two feelings about that. Number one, I would like to see this cover more than simply businesses with 25 employees or more, because I don't think it's workers' fault that they work for smaller businesses rather than larger ones. And I don't think it means that they shouldn't have some time off that they need as well. Nonetheless, I fully understand Gail's position, and I understand that it is more difficult for smaller businesses to adopt this. So I think this is a great start. And in time, I think we can begin to find some ways to transition to include smaller businesses. There's a number of ways to get at this, and one of my business friends has suggested some of them to us, which would include maybe withholding 1/26th of a paycheck each pay period and then giving that during the vacation time so that the bookkeeping and other things weren't as difficult for the employer.
How will the law be enforced?
Well, I think as any law, workers have certain rights to go and say, look, I didn't get this vacation. This would be tested in the courts. I think it's highly unlikely in a case like this that there would be too many violations of this sort of thing. There are provisions definitely in the bill for enforcement.
When would the law take effect?
It would take effect fairly quickly, which is, I think, something like 90 days after the end of the legislative session.
How would the bill affect local jurisdictions that might want to set a more generous benefit?
Oh, there's nothing in it that prevents local jurisdictions from doing something that would be greater than this, that is offering more time for people, but it would forbid local jurisdictions from doing less.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is John DeGraff, Executive Director of Take Back Your Time. Our topic is House Bill 2238, which mandates paid vacations for workers in Washington State, and has been under consideration in the 2014 Washington State legislative session. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Who is supporting the bill at this point?
Well, Gail has a number of co-sponsors among the House of Representatives. We have support from physicians. We have support from people in organized labor. There are some groups that support this. The Economic Opportunity Institute has indicated its support for the bill. Moms Rising, groups like this have certainly indicated their interest in and general support for this bill. It's pretty new. It came up fast. And so we haven't really even had the time to assemble the kind of coalition I would like to see behind this bill. It has gone forward very, very quickly. I think the odds are that if it does get through the House of Representatives this year, it will not get through the Senate, the Republican-controlled Senate, and so it will come up again next year. But if it gets to the House, we will feel very, very good. We'll indicate that there is real interest in this in Washington State, and we will begin to build a kind of coalition that can take it all the way in 2015.
Who has voiced opposition to the bill?
Well, a number of lobbyists for business interests. We have quite a few business people who like this idea. Some have made testimony to the legislature that they believe it is a good idea, that it would be fair, that they want to do the right thing, and that if they had a level playing field that affected all businesses, it would be easier for them to provide these benefits for workers. But there are clearly, I mean, when we testified in the legislature, there was a lineup of paid lobbyists for various groups, Washington Business Association and so forth, who testified against it and who basically testify against anything that would mandate rules for business. They just simply say it's going to raise costs, we can't do it, it's going to put businesses out of business. The evidence is not at all clear that this is true. If we look at Europe, where vacation laws are much more generous, a much larger percentage of workers in Europe are working for small businesses, that is, businesses with less than 50 employees, than is true in the United States. About 67% of Europeans work for small businesses. About 46% of Americans do.
Would you tell us about the committee hearing on the bill that took place January 24th? How did it go, and what was some of the key input?
I think it went well. Those of us who testified on behalf of the bill felt that we tried to make the case as best we could, that vacation has many benefits. It has benefits for families bonding. That's been shown by some key studies from the University of Minnesota. The strongest memories that many people have is of their childhood vacation times. Brigham Young University studies have shown also the importance for families and the positive effects that vacation time has on how well kids do in the next school year. And there's actually some clear ties between going on vacation. So we made those points, especially, I think, most powerfully, Sarah Speck, the cardiologist, made the points about the effect that this could have on health and the positive effects, and that this would be not only a lifesaver, but a money saver, because healthcare is such an expensive part of our costs in America. On the other hand, the business lobbyists made their case that, again, that this would be too expensive, that it's too complicated, one thing or another. We have to wait and see how the members of the committee, which was the House Committee on Labor and Workplace Development, will come down on this.
What is the current timeline for the bill?
The bill was supposed to come out of the executive session of the committee on January 28th. That did not happen. It has been postponed. At this point, it either must be passed through that committee by February 5th, or it will have to wait until another session.
Would you say more about what's next if the bill doesn't pass in this legislative session?
Well, then I think we have to go to work building for the next session. And I'm hoping that some people will actually run for office with support for this bill as part of their campaign. I'm sure that Gail will do that. So we need to build a coalition. We need to show the support for this. We do know that Washington voters in general support this bill. Our polling shows about 61% of Washingtonians would favor at least a 2-week paid minimum and perhaps 3 weeks. About 38% of Washingtonians are opposed to any mandate or any bill like this, but that's a pretty strong majority. 86%, according to the poll, of Washingtonians do believe that vacations make them more rejuvenated, more refreshed, and more productive at work.
Are similar bills to require a paid vacation being introduced in other states?
Not yet. So eyes are on Washington, and there was a report on NPR from local, but then on the NPR website, and there were literally dozens of people from around the country saying, go Washington State, show us the way. There was a report in the Huffington Post about this last week, and there were comments that said, go Washington State, show us the way forward. Interestingly enough, the Secretary of State of Puerto Rico commented on the Huffington Post, and he said, hey, Puerto Rico has already shown the way, folks. In Puerto Rico, an American commonwealth whose citizens are American citizens, people all get at least 3 weeks of paid vacation time by law. They also get paid family leave and paid sick days by law. So the Puerto Rican Secretary of State would say, hey, we've already shown the way. This works fine. What's the fuss, in his words?
Would you comment also on efforts at the federal level to require paid vacation time?
Sure. Congressman Alan Grayson of Florida has twice introduced a paid vacation act, first in 2009 and then again this past year. He has not been able to get much support in Congress. He's a representative and with Republican control of the House, and as polarized as our politics are in Washington, it appears unlikely that this bill has any chance to go anywhere. So I think with many of these things, we have to show that they work at the state level first.
What do you see as the relative importance of this bill compared to other bills to support workers that are being considered in the legislature, such as increasing the minimum wage statewide or paid sick days?
I think all of these things are important. I don't like to necessarily put them in some kind of order. I think paid sick days are important. The fact to understand is that all of these laws are taken for granted in other wealthy countries. Minimum wages are much higher in the European countries. They have vacation time. They get paid sick days. They get generous maternity and family leave when they have a child. These things have not destroyed them in any way. In fact, the countries that have the strongest policies along these lines are actually the Northern European countries that are doing the best among European countries, and then in some cases are being asked to pay for the countries in Southern Europe that aren't doing so well. But vacation time is an important thing. I'm more concerned with our whole value system in this country around productivity, profits, time, people, all of these things. I think we need to think about what we value. And I think we need to really set as much value on the health of our people and their social connections and relationships and their happiness and our environment. And there's a big tie between vacation time and the environment, which I can go into. I think we need to be every bit as concerned about these things as we are always about productivity and profits and costs. I think there's a very narrow approach in the United States to what constitutes a good quality of life. 50 years ago, Lyndon Johnson, in his Great Society speech in May of 1964, talked about how the values, the beauty of our country were being buried under what he called unbridled growth. And he said the important thing is to get our values straight, to understand that after a point, just piling on more and more stuff doesn't make us happier. We need leisure as a friend. He used that term. He said we need to understand that the importance in our life is the quality of life, not the quantity of goods. That is the overall conversation that I think that we need to be having. And vacation time is just one way, one leverage point of getting into that conversation.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is John DeGraff, Executive Director of Take Back Your Time. Our topic is House Bill 2238, which mandates paid vacations for workers in Washington State, and has been under consideration in the 2014 Washington State legislative session. Would you like to expand on the environmental implications that you brought up?
Sure. People do not tend to appreciate the value of open space, of wilderness, of the natural world, unless they experience it. And what we are seeing today, as people have less time to get out, is that children are spending far less time out in the natural world. They are spending only about half as much unstructured time outdoors as they did a generation ago. And this loss is significant. People are not having time to actually understand and be part of the rhythms of nature. I went to Yosemite recently, where the average visit a generation ago was 48 hours, and 80% of people who visited the park stayed overnight. Today, the average visit to Yosemite is about 4 hours, and only 20% of the people stay overnight, and they are simply rushing around, snapping as many photos as they can. This is not a way to appreciate and understand the rhythms, the pace, and everything of nature. And as we get into this and expect everything to be fast and immediate and filled with stuff and virtual experiences, we will tend to forget these things, which are absolutely essential to being strong supporters of the environment. Our lack of concern for climate change, our lack of concern for the absolute destruction of Appalachia, strip mining the mountains, poisoning the water, all of these things, all in the name of increasing our production of fossil fuels, these are a reflection of the fact that we no longer have the time to appreciate the natural world.
Would you also say more about the implications of time stress for our democracy?
Sure. We know that the democracy isn't just going and putting your ballot in. Now we make that even easier because now you can just fill it out and mail it in. It takes you, 15 minutes out of your life to do it. But democracy has to be about understanding the issues and participating in public life. And this is what citizenship is, and volunteering in the community, being part of what's going on. If we don't have time, if we are spending all of our time, number one, working long hours so that we make more money so that we can spend the rest of our time consuming more and more stuff, that doesn't leave very much time for citizenship. And so what do we leave that to? Well, we leave those decisions to money and power to make, to influence. And I think even the hearing last Friday was an illustration of this. There aren't very many cases, I was told, when ordinary citizens like myself and Dr. Speck and others come down at their own expense to Olympia, having really studied an issue, and testify in the legislature. In most cases, they just get the lineup of the lobbyists who are paid to be there.
Would you also say more about the implications of time stress for social cohesiveness?
If you're constantly busy and in a hurry and focused on consuming and focused on work, relationships suffer. People do not have the same kind of levels of connection. And so we see increasing depression, anxiety, loneliness in the United States. Time Magazine and the American Association of Retired Persons in 2010 did a study with the University of California at Los Angeles that showed that over the age of 45, Americans are almost twice as likely to suffer from chronic loneliness as only 10 years before. I mean, that's dramatic, up from 20% to 35% in a mere 10-year period. Now, that is not just a tragedy for those people who are disconnected and who are lonely and who are isolated from each other, in part because they've so overworked and so consumed with that that they didn't have time for each other. But it is also a disaster for our healthcare system, because we know that there's really nothing you can do that's worse for your health than to be isolated, lonely, depressed, all of these things. And the price we will pay for that in chronic illness is enormous. Even today, if you are born in the United States, you have almost a 60% more of a chance to suffer from heart disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, cancer, and arthritis than you would have if you lived in Europe. Now, if you think about that, that's enormous, because those are precisely the diseases that cost our healthcare system big time. So what do we have? We're spending 18% of our gross domestic product, as we call it, all this money that we spend, spending 18% of that on healthcare. The Europeans are spending maybe about 10, and their health is better than ours, even though they spend way less money. They live longer, they have less of these diseases, they do better when it comes to infant maternal mortality, they're less obese, all of these kinds of things. And obesity also is a function of two things. One thing is not having a chance to get out, to exercise, to do those things. And secondly, it's a function of stress, because stress from overwork and other things comes out in that way. We don't sleep well, and lack of sleep means that we also don't process food well and so forth. So it's not just what we eat, it's how we live that adds to our obesity crisis.
To what extent do Americans realize there is time stress?
I think most people that you talk to will acknowledge that they feel overworked, that they feel busy, that they'd like a vacation, that they wish they had a little more time for their family and for their friends. I mean, it's a running joke that no one on their deathbed says, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. They all say, I wish I'd spent more time with my friends. I wish I'd had more chance to be out in nature, more chance to play. So I think that is really broadly acknowledged by people. But there's so much fear. People don't know what to do about it. They say, if I don't work these long hours, if I don't stay in touch with the office, I might lose my job, as Sarah Speck put it. I might lose my ability to send my kids to college. There is much more fear in our society today, as we've stripped the safety net, as we have increasing unemployment. And so people are willing to accept this grind that is literally killing them. The Japanese have a word for death from overwork. They call it karoshi. But really, Americans are now working longer than the Japanese.
Would you like to tell us about your recent documentary, The Great Vacation Squeeze?
Sure. This is a look at these very issues. We go first to Yosemite National Park. We spend some time with the ranger Shelton Johnson, who is prominent in Ken Burns National Park series. He goes and talks with vacationers about how little time they get, their concerns. We spend a good part of the program with Rick Steves, the travel guide, who talks about the values that we have compared to what he sees in Europe. And then the final third of the show is really with Sarah Speck, the cardiologist, talking about the impacts of overwork on our health.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
The message is that we really need to ask ourselves, what do we value in the society? Is it all about making more money, making more stuff, or is it about making a life that is a life of quality, that is a life of health, that is a life of caring and connection, that is a life of appreciation of nature, that is a life with time to do other things that we need to do? If as a country we can't understand that and we are obsessed simply with more and more consuming and producing, then I think we're in bad shape. Things will get worse, we will get less healthy, and the problems will increase. We need to turn a lot of things around in this country. Having vacation time is just one of those things, but it's a good place to start.
Well, thanks so much for being here, John.
Thank you.
You were just listening to John DeGraff, Executive Director of Take Back Your Time. For more information about House Bill 2238, which mandates paid vacations for workers in Washington State, go to the website of Representative Gail Tarleton in the Washington State Legislature. And that's GAELTARLETON. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM and kexp.org.